here. It is a Wednesday, middle of the week, August the 11th, 2021, here with Glenn Coble on the air. Glenn, I'm sorry I missed the first hour. I was on a conference call.
Well, we had a very good question for you.
What did you call me, though, as I was coming back in the room there? I was talking to the Pastor Whitaker's outside doing some work for us, and you said the something will be back next hour, the linguist or something like that.
I don't remember. I was being falsely...
I could tell, but it was okay. I enjoyed it.
I was sucking up.
Yeah, well, that's good. A little goes a long way. So now, what question did you have?
Well, we had a gentleman call in, and he said he had some bottles. He had a bottle of Coca-Cola from 1928, I believe it was. And that's got to be worth some money, you would think.
You would think, 1928.
Yeah, but he also has bottles of King beverage that was apparently bottled here in the city of Marion. Had you ever heard of King Beverage?
I know there was a place that did that, okay. But I don't know. Does anybody know? Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. A King Beverage.
Now, he said that the Coca-Cola bottling company was right down here, I believe he said, on Main Street. It's now an automobile parts place or something like that.
Well, I know there have been some bottling companies here in Marion, but I don't even know what the King beverage was. Was it a root beer? Was it a...
He didn't say.
...certain thing?
I don't know. I'm having my teeth drilled. So.
Yes, we're having Glenn some dental work going on here during the show today. My goodness.
They're fixing our porch.
Thank goodness.
Yes,
which
yes.
That's a well-needed thing.
Don't want to fall through that porch.
And this morning, I hear there's progress being made on painting our middle room, which will be the final room that we'll need painted.
Is that going to be the green room?
Well, I don't know if it is or not at this, but it might be the very dark yellow room.
Okay.
It'll be bright in here.
Okay.
You can't help but come in here and be happy.
Okay. Well, I told, I mentioned that I'm having Jeffrey's sights on tomorrow, and I told him where it is and the address, and I said, don't expect a lot.
Oh, you know what's interesting? The other day I was reading a book by Ralph Emery, who he's still alive.
I remember that.
Well, yeah, Ralph was the main broadcaster down in Nashville for all the country artists.
Yes, of course, yes.
And he says people do not understand radio studios. He said he would have these people like, in his day, Johnny Cash, and they understood it. It was the listeners who would come to visit the radio station.
And be disappointed?
That didn't understand it.
Uh-huh.
He said his studio was a room as small as a bedroom. He said it had old acoustic tiles on the wall that had probably been there since the 20s when it was built. He said no pictures, nothing, and there was a little piano over in the corner, and that was it.
Well, you really don't need much for a radio studio.
No, so I mean, every radio studio I've ever worked in, none of them looked great.
I'm trying to remember. The best one I ever worked in was WAJC, which was a solely student-operated radio station.
Well, that's because the school's got the money.
And yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. The school paid to have a pretty nice radio station.
But, you know, WMRN, I spent 5 years there.
Yeah, it's not much there.
No, it was just gray walls. Mice used to run through the studio under my feet.
Apparently, ours is gone.
Yeah, I think, now see, this was a difference. But no, mice used to run under my feet there. There were constantly papers stacked up everywhere. The walls in the back were this weird blue color. Oh, it was awful. And the board was probably 50 years old.
Not impressive.
No. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I think your studio is really a nice place.
Oh, how nice of him to say.
You know why?
Why?
It don't belong to nobody but Scott Spears sitting in back of a microphone, and he puts out the message, and I don't care where you go or congregations of whatever people you have, it isn't the facility, it's what you absorb from that.
There Scott, you go. Yeah, Scott's trying to reach his own back with his own hand right now.
A bunch of fancy stuff to do it, and I think it's a comfortable place.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, there you go. That does my ego well this morning.
You've had a good morning this morning. I I kissed your derriere when you walked in.
Kreskin invited me to his Christmas party New York. Oh, yes. I'm hobnobbing now, Glenn.
You going to head out there? Have you thought?
Why? You know, why not? Why not? For a night?
Absolutely.
Go out to Kreskin. He said I could bring my wife.
Okay.
I don't have one.
How good a mental guy is he if he doesn't know you?
Well, mentalist is not a psychic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but in any event, radio studios. Yeah, yeah. No worries, though. Go right ahead.
People just walk in everywhere.
Yeah. You have that.
Yeah.
But no, the WMRN was not anything to be excited about.
No.
Matter of fact, they had steps, so that was awful.
Yeah.
You couldn't get people up and in.
And they were kind of deteriorating, if I recall correctly.
Then I went to WDCM.
The
ceiling caved in. Every time a car drove by the studio on Center Street, the windows rattled. That was a mess. And that stained carpet everywhere, one bathroom. And then when we moved into the new building at WDCM, you walked in the elevator, smelled like mold.
Yes, I remember.
Mold and mildew.
Yeah.
You went up to the studio, and you were in probably the smallest. The studio was in the smallest room in the building, which was like a closet.
Yeah.
It could fit the table and where you sat and the equipment, and that was it.
Yeah.
And they had a piece of carpet hanging on the back of the door to try to kill the sound.
Yeah, I worked there. I did their sports there for a while, and I always didn't look forward to having to go there because of the smell of the elevator.
So my feeling is this studio is a step above those two.
Oh, sure. Sure. It's not bad. No. I don't mind it at all.
No, and I like the idea of being in a house because Bucyrus is in a house.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know what that house looked like when they started.
It was quite an expensive home. Didn't it have a turret?
But I think when they got it, it needed a lot of work.
Oh, I bet it did. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in an old part of the town. Not that the houses around look bad, but it was just an old part of town, and I bet that house was kind of worse for wear.
Well, and WLIO, their television station is in a house.
LIO.
WLIO in Lima.
Oh, okay. Never been there.
It's in a house. A one-story house.
You don't need much to fool the public.
Well, I've never understood, why does television or radio have to be big?
Well, I would say television, because it used to be that the lights were very, very hot. And I think that you needed more space to dissipate the heat. Plus, you needed the ability to light in different directions. So maybe they had to have lots of space overhead. I don't know.
I don't know how this local television station in WLIO in Lima, but drive over there sometime. Go over to QP's, have a QP burger, and then just go over to WLIO, which is in a neighborhood, and it's a house. But it's an NBC affiliate. You see the peacock out front and everything.
Do they let anybody come in?
Probably during business hours, I bet.
Really?
They would. Yeah.
When I used to be with the Army Field Band, my last year there, I went around, and what we would call it advancing the field band. We'd go to the, we'd get the hotel rooms booked up, and we'd get the places that we were going to play booked up and stuff like that. But we'd also go and usually do things at radio stations and newspapers, do interviews so that they would have it in their paper. But back then, and especially in California, they didn't let just anybody come into their studios because they were afraid people were going to bomb them. That was back in the late 60s, early 70s.
Well, also, local television personalities, when there was only three stations, became very famous people on television. And a lot of people would come into those stations looking for people.
It's interesting how people get famous. They're really not very famous.
Well, it depends. Because you know what? I think there is something that makes you famous. Because you can put... A newscast usually has a male, in those days, had a male anchor, a female anchor, a weatherman, and a sports guy you saw every night.
Right.
But they weren't all famous. You know, it was... it depended on what and who they were, how they came across.
And how they, probably how they appealed to the community that they were in. Like if they would go out and do lots of stuff.
Well, like in Columbus, which would have been our area back in that era before cable television, you know, Channel 4, they had Jimmy Crumb.
Yeah.
He was very popular.
Yep. And he had a good hook, his coat.
Yeah, it was, but he was a good sports broadcaster. Yeah. He really was, and yeah. He editorialized. He was friends with Woody Hayes, so he had the guests matter.
Yeah,
they wouldn't go on other channels, so that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And Doug Adair, when he came from Cleveland, he had a great way of presenting the news, and he had a lot of experience behind him. Other than that, who was big in Columbus? On the news, I mean, you did have Flippo and Fritz and people like that, but there was nobody. So of all those people, you had two.
Well, having not grown up in this area, I don't know. I know those names that you mentioned, but I don't know many of the people from the Columbus market.
I know in Cleveland they had Dorothy Fulltime, and she worked at the Cleveland station, but she also appeared on Johnny Carson and Jack Parr and Phil Donahue and Larry King. She was on all those national shows. So, you know, people used to come looking for her. Because she was right there in Cleveland, down at the local station.
And that's kind of a bad and good choice of words. They came looking for her, and that could be dangerous.
Yeah, but you know, it's either an overzealous fan,
yeah.
which is bad,
yeah.
or it's somebody who doesn't like what you said.
yeah.
And I, coming to tell you about it.
There might be some people that would try to string me up.
Well, it's just, you know, I don't think anybody should ever be punished for what they say. Unless it's personally derogatory. I'm not big on personal derogatories.
Okay.
Like, yeah. attacking somebody personally, I don't understand that.
There's a lot of that going on.
There is, but I don't get that.
It's the era of Facebook, and that's what Facebook makes its living off of.
But you're really not angry at the person. You're angry at what they espouse. So why don't you be angry about that?
For some reason or other, we take it, everybody moves it to the personality.
Which is not right.
Yeah. I just noticed California has decided that they're going to mandate teachers and other school employees to be vaccinated. That's going to cause some problems.
Well, we had a protest here in Marion yesterday at the city schools because of mask wearing. I mean, what do you make of this?
It's foolish, I think. I've worn a mask, and I still do. I wear a mask every time I go to the grocery store. I did stop for a couple of weeks, and then when what's the name of the new virus? The new
Delta.
The Delta, yeah. And when that started, I said to my wife, "I'm not bringing it home to you." So I started wearing a mask again.
I don't know. Are the people right? I mean, it's your right to protest, so I commend them for that yesterday. But you know, Channel 6 News came down, of course.
Wow.
Yeah. But there wasn't a whole lot of protesters.
How many?
Well, was anybody out in that protest? Because I don't want to misquote it. I drove by it. But was anybody out in that protest at the city schools yesterday about masks? Did anybody see it on the news last night? I didn't catch any of that. I was in bed already. 740-383-9944. So is there any word on, or do you have an opinion on this whole thing with the city schools? I think one of the problems they're facing right now is we have five school districts, and the city schools are the only one that have mandated masks, and mm-hmm. school starting next week.
Yeah.
So I think they're under the gun right now because people are saying, well, the other school districts aren't doing it. And, you know, it's a tough road to go right now.
Yeah, and somebody's going to get sued. If a kid gets sick and passes away, somebody's going to get sued for that. And they're going to get sued because they didn't do anything to protect the kids. And I think that's, you know, they're weighing that. And it's kind of scary. You were talking about number of people coming to an event. I went to two, maybe three, of the Black Lives Matter events that were held at the City Hall. And there were a couple hundred people or more that would come down to those. Were there less than that at this?
You know, I think so. But okay. I don't, like I said, was anybody at the rally or know anything about the rally? Or did you watch it on television last night? Because I drove by it, but I don't want to misrepresent what it was. So give me a first-hand account. 740-383-9944. Now, also, you've got into this. A petition has been started by this gentleman. Now, his story is his daughter goes to the city school, and she has anxiety issues with wearing the mask. Now, I would think if you would have went to the principal or the superintendent, that they probably would have dealt with that.
I would have thought so.
Yeah. I don't think if you have an anxiety disorder, you would have to wear the mask.
Do they have school psychiatrists anymore?
Well,
we had one when I was in school.
I don't think they
have. 50 years ago.
Psychologists, maybe.
Okay.
So what do they call them? Guidance counselors.
Oh, well, everybody has guidance counselors. But we actually had trained people. That was 55, 60 years ago. You would think that they could handle the anxiety at the school level. You wouldn't, at the individual level, you wouldn't have to make a big thing about everybody.
Well, here's the thing. If you have, I don't know how many people are in the school, but let's just say, and this is probably, I think there are 1,000 people at Grant Middle School, 1,000 okay. students.
I would guess the high school is double that.
Could be. Yeah. Okay, so let's say 1,000. Now, if 15 people are not wearing masks because of anxiety disorders or breathing problems or asthma or whatever it may be, that's still not going to be much of a threat.
No, you would think if you got the rest of them masked, you've got it pretty well covered.
Yeah, and even if one of them did get it, it's not going to spread very far.
Well, what is it now? This new virus spreads 1 to 5, I think it is, or is it 1 to 2.5? They have a number of how many you will spread to if you're...
Well, they say it's more contagious than the common cold, but looked at the common cold in a school. Now, you got 25 kids before anybody was masked up or anything. Now, if a kid had a cold in a classroom, you probably gave it to 4 or 5 people. Probably.
I don't know. I'm sure there are people that study that sort of thing.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I think they have a number for that.
I just believe if we got past the name-calling, and then we just did away with the politics and went to a doctor, that would be it.
Yeah, why not?
Why must we name-call? Why must we consult people who have no background on this at all?
Because if the name-calling starts in one area, the other area opposite that will then name-call back, and that doesn't do anybody any good. And I have been guilty of name-calling. I try to keep it to myself, but it doesn't always happen. And in my show, A Progressive Life, I'm sure you will hear me be a little critical of people.
Well, I just, I really think that people in general, I don't know that we should be criticizing people. I think we should be criticizing their acts.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. Now, there are certain people like President Biden and President Trump before him that are going to get the blame thrown at them just because of their position. To say a teacher is doing something bad and calling them a name, it doesn't get anybody anywhere, you know.
Well, I just don't understand why. I mean, even in the political realm, which seems to be a lot of name calling now.
Yeah, that's what
people get angry about policies. So why don't you attack that? I mean, even if you don't like, let's say somebody does call names. Well, why don't you talk about that? Why don't you talk about the idea that somebody would speak unfavorably of others? You know, I think that takes a little more thought than just saying, well, the person's an idiot.
I think people start out trying to be that way. Somebody throws a name in there, and then the other person has to counter, and then it gets out of hand.
Well, right, but I think we're becoming very touchy as a society.
Well,
we can't handle it.
Yeah, we tend to have a lot of cowards in this society for some reason or other, and we t- tend not to think very much in this society. I don't know where we got that from, and maybe it was that way when I was young, but I don't remember. I remember really thinking people tried to better their fellow citizens. Now we're trying to run our fellow citizens down if they don't agree with you.
Everybody I've ever talked to, everybody, or heard talked about, it was never about the person. It was about what they said or what they did or what they believed. I never felt it necessary to attack the person.
Well, there were things that sexual things, things like that usually got to the personal level.
But aren't what we're mad at is the act?
The act.
I mean, aren't we mad at what they did, not who they are?
I think President Trump got in a lot of trouble because they thought the act that he was caught doing was who he is. And I'm not sure that's true, but...
Well, I don't, like I said, Bill Cosby. People really mad at who Bill Cosby is, or are they mad at what he did?
Well, I think a lot of people, and I would say most people, have a difficulty separating those two things.
Well, this is our problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if I ran the world, we wouldn't have this problem.
If you ran the world, I'm leaving.
Well, just I'll give you the polar opposites here. You know, you have Joe Biden and you have President Trump, or Donald Trump, however you want to say it. I don't know either one of these guys. So for me to be angry at either one of them is senseless for me. Now, if I dislike what they do, I'm just going to talk about what they do. And I don't even have to use their name. I don't like this. I don't like that. You know, we had a 3-week conversation on this show about these legislatures in Texas. I don't think we ever used a name.
No.
It was the act that we were discussing.
Yeah.
That's what should happen.
Okay. Yeah, and we disagreed, and that was good.
But we disagreed over the act.
But we didn't call them.
We didn't even say
names.
Their names.
Yeah, well, we didn't know their names.
I don't, and I don't think they're bad people. I think they've made the wrong choice.
And I think they made the right choice.
Right.
So that's fine.
See,
that's why
that's
we call
our,
them.
Yeah. But see, we didn't have to go after them. Personally.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking you meant the Texas authorities.
Yeah, no, but one day they will, but that's a whole other thing.
I don't know. That may be a tough road to go. We'll find out. Yeah, I noticed that Governor, what's his name?
Oh, how about this? We cannot talk about Governor Cuomo.
Oh, yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah, but you know, they praised him in his leaving. I thought that was interesting.
He praised himself in this leaving.
No, Biden praised him. Said he did the right thing.
Oh, yes, he did do the right thing.
Yeah, but I don't know.
He did the wrong thing, then he did the right thing.
Right, but I guess...
Well, you would rather him stay on?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, it's a confusing issue, because he clearly feels he did not do what they're accusing him
mm-hmm.
of.
Yeah.
So, when you feel you're right, do you leave? Because here's what I noticed.
I think you have to if you're running your party into the ground, which he was.
Well, now what does he do?
I'm sure he doesn't. He's going to be behind the scenes no matter what. He's got so much political.
Oh, he'll still be
ammunition,
in the game.
Yeah.
But he will never be able to. They considered him a contender for president.
Yeah.
So they did Al Franken too.
Yeah.
So
now, I think Al Franken was badly handled. I don't believe he should have been run out of office. I do think Cuomo should have. I think Cuomo, the evidence seems to be, and we don't know yet, but the evidence seems to be pretty obvious.
But you know what the problem is? When you resign, people take that as an admittance of guilt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know what he did.
I think if he was going to resign, he should have resigned immediately rather than drag it on for 2 weeks. Why did he drag it on for 2 weeks? I don't know.
Oh, he didn't want to go.
Yeah, but if you say, okay, I'm going to go, but I'm going to wait 2 weeks, what are you going to do in the 2 weeks?
Well, I think he was trying to find a way to stay.
Yeah, he's not going to find a way to stay once you say you're going to leave in 2 weeks. I mean, you've already set the thing in motion. So, and the kind of interesting, I was watching the lady who will become the lieutenant governor. She's the Speaker of the House or something like that in New York. And she said, and they referred to her as the future lieutenant governor. And she said, no, I can't remember what the lady who's going to become governor's name is. But she said, she's going to have 2 weeks to pick a person, and I'm not going to be the one, so kind of interesting.
Well, you know what fascinates me about the whole thing, to be honest, is that here's this guy who people were praising. I mean, he was one of the big ones.
He did a nice job with the COVID stuff.
Yeah, but boy, have they all turned on him now.
Oh, yeah.
Turn tail and run.
That's the nature of politics, unfortunately. And we're going to talk to Jeffrey tomorrow, Jeffrey Seitz, about that sort of thing. The ability not to be kind to each other, even in your own party.
Well, I've heard people now all of a sudden say, well, I never really liked him. Oh, okay.
I liked him. I thought he did a good job with the COVID, and I watched his announcements. It wasn't daily, but I watched them weekly at least, and I learned more from him.
Well, you know, here's the thing I've also noticed. People are starting to pick up terminology. Now, you and I should never condemn anything anybody does, because to be honest with you, us condemning anything, what's that going to do? Nothing.
Well, I condemn Hitler.
Well, I mean, what does it do?
It doesn't do anything.
So it's funny to me when people go, I want to be on the record that I condemn what this person does.
Nobody
did somebody
cares.
Ask you?
Yeah, nobody cares
nobody
what your
cares
record
what you
is.
Thought. Nobody cares. But I think you can say, talking in a casual conversation like we are, we can say, well, certainly you don't sexually harass women.
Yeah.
But when they get on, I condemn. Okay. Gotcha.
Well, basically you're saying I'm better than they are.
I guess.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
I guess.
But you know, it's kind of interesting. My wife and I had a discussion about this last night. We were talking about Cuomo and that he had decided to resign. And Carol said to me, and she was not in favor of him staying. She thought he should go. But she did say to him, back in your day, and she was talking to me, I'm 75 years old, she said, a lot of the stuff he did was all of us women put up with anyway. It was not considered bad manners to put your hand on the back of a woman, small of her back, or even to give her a hug and maybe a peck on the cheek. That was not considered bad. Now it's become... I've had talks with myself, internal talks with myself with, oh my gosh, I did that to such and such.
Do you think if it wasn't Andrew Cuomo, he'd still be there?
Yeah, I think because, well, I don't know, but I understand that he's kind of a rough person to work around because he's kind of a tyrant. And if that's true, a lot of people want to get tyrants out of there.
All I know is there are 50 governors in the United States, and I'm guessing there's more than one who has sexually harassed somebody by the standard of what we call sexual harassment. Now, is it because Governor Cuomo is got a lot of attention and condemned the president? And oh, there's another condemned the president, Trump, and yep. Did all that. Is that why? And he's a contender, and so on and so forth. A famous name, famous father. Is that why, or is it because there's absolutely nobody else who has ever done this in the 50 governors of the United States?
Well, I told my wife when I first decided to get into politics, she said, why do you want to do that? And I said, well, it's not the reason most other males want to get into politics. And she asked me what that was, and I said, sex, money, and power. Not necessarily in that order, but probably in that order. And she was a bit shocked, but The last night on Rachel Maddow's show, Rachel went over all the way that the new lieutenant governor, who's going to become governor, how she got her job. And it has to do with about seven or eight, both Republican and Democrat males acting badly. Everyone, you know, this guy got fired, so she was moved to that position. That guy got caught, so she was moved to that. And she's basically going to be governor of New York because of all the bad acting that males have done in the state of New York.
Well, I just look at, you know, it was best to be a politician. And I hate to say this. It wasn't even considered so much a politician in those days. But, you know, the people who show up as our two top presidents always are Washington and Lincoln. And some say Lincoln, some say Washington. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is, had we had a press, had we had the scrutiny, even on these guys for exactly what they did, I don't think either one of them would be there. Because there have been many books written on the fact that Lincoln might have been of the same-sex persuasion. And
I did not know that. All right. I hadn't heard that.
Well, that assertion's been made.
Yeah.
And Washington, there was also talk that, I don't think there was ever a book written on it, but I've heard allusions to the same thing there. So those are the only two I ever heard that about. Well, but no, there's one that they, like Millard Fillmore or something. And if it's not Millard Fillmore, I'm sorry, Millard. But that there have been allusions to both Lincoln and Washington being a little different.
Well,
if you're
implying that they're gay, we have Pete Buttigieg, who's on the cabinet.
But in their day,
it wouldn't have flown. Horrible,
right?
Yeah.
So, but see, why can't we say that now? Because the evidence on Lincoln seems to be pretty sharp.
Well, I've never cared ever in my life.
No, I don't care either. I'm just saying, if it is, well, let it be.
But for me not to care and you not to care is two different generations. Your generation has become more liberal and more open-minded. My generation was not terribly open-minded about homosexuality.
Well, I don't know. It's just to me, you know, Thomas Jefferson took his hits over Sally Hemings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that. Why John Adams isn't thought of better? You know, John Adams is the only founding father who did not own slaves.
Is that right?
Yep.
I didn't know he was the only one.
So why he doesn't get better recognition? Also, Adams was a proponent of making George Washington the general. Adams was also the man who said, get Thomas Jefferson to write the Declaration of Independence. Adams was far more involved. There would not have been Thomas Jefferson or George Washington had there not been John Adams. And in his life, he seemed to be much more civilized. He lived longer. He had a son who became president. Neither of the other two did. And he was more available to the public. I think it was because he was more outspoken, too. You know, John Adams had a big mouth.
Yeah, that'll get you in trouble.
But I really believe that of the three, John Adams probably was the greatest. Now, people hearing that today was, oh, my goodness gracious, how can you say that?
Yeah, well, and they would say that based on the history they've been taught. Excuse me.
But I just think I don't think you have George Washington if you don't have John Adams. Because you wouldn't have had him being a general. Adams endorsed him, and Adams carried a lot of weight in those days. And you certainly might not have had the type of government we had without Jefferson. And Adams was the one who said, Jefferson's the one who needs to do this.
Well, wouldn't you also think that Washington would have been nothing had he not won a couple of really lucky battles?
Well, see, I don't know, because that's the question of Washington. Are we putting him up on a pedestal for his presidency, or are we putting him on a pedestal for his military career?
Or his timing. He just happened to be there.
Well, because we don't grade Ulysses Grant on his military career. We don't grade Dwight Eisenhower on his military career. That's great. They both had great military.
Yeah.
We grade them on their presidencies.
Yeah.
So what was George Washington's presidency? George Washington's presidency Very good, because he presided over trying to get recognition over for us overseas. He helped lay the foundation of what we have. He's the one who said, "Don't make me king." That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Two terms. He's the one who set that standard.
He expanded our states, I believe.
So, yeah. Good president.
Yeah.
Good. But great number one. I don't know. I think we look more back to what he did militarily.
I never have. If I would ever grade Washington, I would never put him number one, because I think he was lucky. He was thoughtful, but I think Lincoln probably had a lot more to deal with than Washington. Washington had a lot to deal with, but
My point there was, isn't it interesting that in the 1700s we didn't have too many presidents in the 1700s? I think only two or three, but the greatest was probably Washington. In people's mind, to me, it's Adams.
Yeah.
But it's Washington in people's minds.
Yeah.
The 1800s, it's clearly Lincoln.
Yeah.
And in the 1900s, it's Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah.
So we don't know this century yet. But to me, the greatest probably is Franklin Roosevelt, because he did have the scrutiny of radio and heavy-duty newspapers and not being able to roam the streets. And
he got a lot done.
He got a lot done. And he did change the presidency. Before Roosevelt, government was not there to help people.
Right. And it actually became rather socialistic.
It did. It did. So you'd probably have to say, Lincoln won a war that would have destroyed the country. Washington won a war that created the country. But based on your presidency, I don't
Roosevelt
think you get better.
Saved
the country.
Yeah.
So I think you have to say it's probably Roosevelt.
That's an interesting point.
Plus, he had to put up with everybody attacking him every five minutes.
Yeah, he did.
Lincoln and Washington didn't have that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Hello.
Call back if that's you. We still got some time here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I mean, they had newspapers, but you had to wait till the next day. And you could influence writers.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Not in Roosevelt's day. You had a press corps. You had dealings.
I think it's kind of interesting, having come from the media. You can even influence media now. Probably as much as you could back in those days. There was a time, the 50s and the 60s, where you couldn't influence the media nearly as much, because there was kind of a unwritten law about within the media that I will tell the truth no matter what.
Right, but you know, it's not so much that they're lying now, it's so much that they are covering things that are stupid.
Yeah,
go ahead, caller.
Yeah, back in those days, they didn't have all the roads and all the money that's transferred from hands to hands.
Yeah, you're right.
And all the people in the United States of America that own homes and delinquent here and delinquent there in taxes and stuff. So I think that they've done well for what they had to deal with, because the people elected them, and like today, we have probably nowhere close to the capacity of voters for the President of the United States as they did back in those days. And the people believed in them, and they were satisfied with them, and so on and so forth. So the comparison is, I don't even think they knew the word trillion. I don't even know what trillion means now. If I had to start counting 1, 2, 3 and go to a trillion, that'd be a tough one, wouldn't it? Hey, have a good day.
Yeah. Now, along that line, I read a thing. I think, I won't say who put it on online, but took 11 days at such and such a number of spending to get to a million, it took 31 years of the same amount of spending to get to a billion.
Well, you know what? I really echo what the caller said, because do you remember, and this is not long ago, this is 50s, the apple pie, more apple pie than it is today. they used to say, if they didn't know what they were doing, they wouldn't be in Washington. You remember that saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That used to be one of our sayings. We certainly don't say that anymore.
No, and I don't think a lot of people believe that ever, but...
Well, I don't know. I think, you know...
If it was your team, that's what you said.
I don't know. You know, I think people cared less. I think there was so much, you know, a great friend of the station brought in a Marion Star from 1965 yesterday. It was 14 pages long of news,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it wasn't all political news. So people had other interests.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got one page.
Well, you only have three reporters, so.
No, and it's not the Star's fault. I'm not blaming the Star. I'm just saying people... They didn't care what was going on in Washington. It wasn't in the forefront unless something major was going on. So they could pay attention to what was going on at City Hall. They could pay attention to what was going on at the county building, the courthouse. And in other... What was going on in Ohio? What was going on at the State House? We don't have that anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. We have kind of lost our local politics.
But
because we don't have the local media.
But Adams is overlooked, and I think, and
I'll take grind that one.
Well, because I'll tell you this: probably the smartest, and remember, smartest doesn't mean you were necessarily the best suited for the job. I think the smartest president, if you gave everyone an IQ test, do you know who it probably would be? In my opinion, everybody's got an opinion because we didn't do it. John Quincy Adams. John Quincy Adams. If you look at what he did. And he never won the popular vote and only served one term. John Quincy Adams, the stuff that he proposed, and I don't have time to get into it here, but stuff that he proposed and the stuff that he did and his writings are so smart. So smart. And his libraries at home and things of that nature, just so smart. I think he wasn't a popular guy. I think he was, he just wasn't well-liked. His father had that problem, too. But I don't think his father was as smart as him, but he was probably the smartest, if you gave them all an IQ test.
If you look, and my wife and I almost always look up the reporters and the political people, we look up what their education is. There are tons of them, especially the reporters that have Harvard degrees.
Does that make you good?
No, and that's just exactly it, because I think you can kind of buy your way into a Harvard degree if you're already a chosen person.
I don't think you can teach curiosity.
No, you can't.
Harvard or Newark U. You can't teach curiosity.
No.
So there's that, but John Adams. Nobody will ever say he's the greatest, but again, I believe it was his Forsyth that did it.
Okay.
Forsyth. No, John Forsyth was on Dynasty.
Yeah.
And John
Forsyth.
Excuse me. All right, it's been fun. Glenn coming up next.
Well, bitty, bitty rich. I did it, man. I built a big tall house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town. I don't want to sing anymore. I'm going to pay me.
I love it, Five-ish. WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Search for us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday.